This episode of So What Do We Do is sponsored by FaxZero, faxzero.com. Send faxes for free online.
That's exciting. More about why this is happening later. But if you click the Fax Congress button right on the main page of FaxZero, you can send a free fax to your congressperson. Faxes can get through when phone calls don't, and you don't have to use a phone at all. Heck, you could send them the Constitution because clearly some reps are not familiar with it.
Thank you, FaxZero.com. And now, the podcast.
Don't you feel like our democracy's not dealing like we used to see?
It's news to me, some choose to be enabling this mockery.
It's human and it's history.
Communication is the key.
Now come on, you can talk to me. So what do we do?
Hello and welcome to So What Do? A podcast about the news, but it's okay.
I'm Storm DiCostanzo and I plead the fifth.
I'm Angela Laser and I can hear a cello. I don't know if you can.
I can't, but I wouldn't say it rises to the point where you should seek professional help.
Okay. This episode is called Can't We All Just Get Along? Because I want to talk a little bit about things that maybe we can agree on. But before we get into that, there is a cello. If you can hear it, listener, it's because I am at the DoubleClick studio right now, and we are recording this week. On the new album. And so Aubrey's working on cello while I'm working on this podcast, which is pretty fun.
But we were talking about this briefly before we declared it was podcast time, but I feel like that's great because we're real. This isn't some, you know, slick operation where if there's a cello around, we'll say, you know, do the podcast another time or anything like that. This is real. This is life. And sometimes there's a cello.
So many podcasts will hide cellos from you. So many of them.
Most of them do. How many times have you heard cello on podcasts?
And it's not like the cello isn't there, right? They're cutting it out.
Clearly.
And we will never, ever do that to you.
No. If there's cello, you get unvarnished cello here on So What Do We Do?
Yeah. Aubrey actually has removed all the varnish from her cellos, which I think makes them a lot more splintery. But a lot more real.
That's how little I know about cello. I don't know if that's dangerous or if it contributes to sound quality. Because it's true that electric guitars, the finish does affect the sound.
Yeah. Well, on cello, I think it affects the wood spirits that travel through to make the notes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. You were saying that you've been working on recording too, right?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it at the end of the last podcast. But yeah. Working on a side project that is hopefully going to have cartoons and art and stuff and definitely a lot of fun music, some weird music, but fun. It's all about fun.
I also wanted to talk a little bit about, there was just this week in news, there was just a picture of our president touching a glowing orb, and then there were a lot of sci-fi jokes, and it made me think about when we talk about the world and then we relate it to fiction and then it all comes back to like how fiction is based on the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something I'm thinking about, Storm. I don't have a question. What do you think about it?
Well, no, I think that's it is interesting. And I've felt up until recently that it has been unproductive to laugh or joke in a lot of contexts. About the administration and all the rest, that it would just normalize, like, you know, ha ha ha, let's laugh about, you know, that it can trivialize it. But I feel like because of everything that happened in the past, say, 10 days, that it's so clear to anyone who hasn't just drunk the Trump Kool-Aid, the Trump aid, that it's all dirty, you know, it's not going to be normalized at this point. It ain't over. It's far from over. And even if Trump were to resign today, it ain't over. But at the very least, it feels like, no, if there's humor to be found now and it doesn't diminish the seriousness of what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if that's sort of like a continuum of being terrified about something. And then every time you make a Harry Potter reference, you get less terrified. But we're to the point where things are so scary and ridiculous that maybe it's okay to make a few jokes to bring it back to just a method, an area you can even comprehend or handle.
Yeah, I think it can help so long as it doesn't become a way just to tune out and to tailor your own reality where terrible things aren't happening and potentially happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, would you like to give us a dose of the news now, Storm?
Oh, my God. There are so many potential doses. As usual, I've tried to winnow it down to just the most relevant or actionable, significant stuff, leaving out so much. I've grouped it together, and I'm starting with something that is starting to bubble up more. And this one's actually more resistance than bad stuff.
Okay.
But I feel is fundamental to everything, and that is voting rights, voter suppression. So I have three headlines for you.
Oh boy.
It's cool. I swear it's more positive this week.
Okay.
The not so good stuff is that the headline is Vice Chair of Donald Trump's Voter Fraud Commission has been successfully sued 4 times for his voter suppression.
Wow.
And, this is the Kansas Secretary of State, Chris Kobach, who's nasty on a lot of levels, in my estimation, for reasons we won't get into. But it's an indication that they are going to try to put as many roadblocks into, I would say, vulnerable communities from voting as much as they can. But two other headlines.
Okay.
The U.S. and they both involve the courts. U.S. Supreme Court refuses to revive North Carolina voter ID law.
Yay! So, go Supreme Court.
Yes, it's awesome because it means that these laws that put up barriers, unreasonable barriers to people voting. This one was seen as if it goes through, it can become a model for other places. And the second one, I think, is even more exciting. Justices, and that is Supreme Court justices, reject 2 gerrymandered North Carolina districts citing racial bias.
Ooh.
And there's obviously, and this just happened about 2 hours ago that it was reported. And it's super significant because there's always been this thing that, you can't gerrymander based on race. And what North Carolina was defending by saying, well, it wasn't race, it was for partisan reasons, which is not unconstitutional. And in this case, I haven't read through it completely, but that there can be, you can tie in some amount of the partisan thing if it ties to race itself. But the sum of it is the courts, at least for now, seem willing to step up and say, no, let's not take away people's right to vote. So
that's good.
Up to you, Angelazer, if you want to offset that.
Yeah.
Or if you want to keep. Yeah.
So this week, our offset are fun hypothetical questions that we can answer short, fun answers to. So the first question is, if for 1 day a year, Storm, you and all your friends could have 1 superpower and you could use it only in Yellowstone National Park, what would you want?
Only in Yellowstone?
Yes.
Hmm? Flight's always a winner, but it's boring.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, it'd be awesome to I'm cheating right now. It would be awesome to fly around in Yellowstone Park, but I'm not choosing that because that's boring.
All right.
I'm gonna say to be able to talk to bears. Because I want to find Yogi and Boo Boo, if you met them in real life, would probably, be fascinating, but you couldn't talk to them because they're bears.
Right.
So I'm going with talk to bears.
That's really good. I like that. The approaching. See, I would go for invisibility because I wouldn't even think about negotiating with the animals. I would just be like, I want to see them close up and them not see me. But
that's tricky.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd need an entire sensory cloaking device.
Right.
Because, a lot of those suckers have really keen sniffers.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, back to the news, Storm. What we got?
Okay, just very briefly what's going on with Trump-Russia, because it's not everything, but there's so much that's come out this week that at least catch you up.
Yes, please.
That Trump reportedly asked the fired FBI Director Comey to end the Flynn inquiry, which some believe would actually be just tampering with the investigation, obstruction of justice. Another head. Yeah, that's pretty serious. Another headline, multiple reports suggest Donald Trump gave contents of James Comey's FBI computer to Russia, which is kind of comical.
Oh, my gosh. Where is that news from?
That news, gosh, sorry, I pulled this from my news
track. Yeah. I mean, it's like something legit, and that's just so hilarious to me.
Any of these headlines are from major news sites. I do look at sites that are one step beyond that, but I don't publish them.
Yeah.
But you can use them to get a sense when something pops up, you'll already know something about it.
Gosh.
And then one more, and this is a big positive one that most of you have probably already heard, but that Robert Mueller, the former FBI director, was named special counsel for the Russia investigation.
Yes.
And it remains to be seen what it really means and what effect it's going to have. But just the fact that the acting FBI director, after Comey was fired, stepped up and said, yeah, this can't be business as usual. We're going to bring someone in, says that it's very clearly entered a new phase, but it's too early to say what happens at this point or how quickly it will happen.
There you go.
So that's Trump-Russia for now. So much more happened, but that's, I feel, the crux of it. What do you got?
Storm, which Muppet would you most want to have gone to college with?
Oh, Rolf, hands down.
Fair. Okay.
You always have to have that. You don't have to, but it's good times if you have someone that can sit down at a party and just be that person in a party who can make it go. Mm-hmm. And it's often someone who can sit down at a piano or play the guitar. By the way, this was not me in college. Mm-hmm. And also, he seems like if you're really going through the tumbler, and I don't mean the site, but like maybe in a physical tumbler with rocks and getting welts, and you needed someone to vent to understand, I feel like Rolf is your dog.
That's a very good choice. It's a very, very good choice. All right. What else you got?
This is a pattern that I'm starting to see, and I find it very disturbing. I hope you have something strong after this one. And I'm connecting dots on things that do not directly connect here. Know that, but I feel like they are part of a hazy picture that may be forming. This is five headlines. The Turkish president's bodyguards beat up U.S. protesters after he met with Trump.
Oh.
Number two, reporter manhandled by FCC guards because he asked question.
Oh.
Number three, authorities investigating whether University of Maryland stabbing death was a hate crime. Yeah. Number four, in a private meeting, President Trump allegedly urged Comey to imprison journalists. And number five, sheriff who likened Black Lives Matter to KKK to join the Trump administration.
Oh.
And together, what they seem, and there are a lot of other little things out there happening that appear to be an indication that there's an increase and normalization of violence.
Yeah.
And that it's starting from the top. And I really feel like it's things take a very dark turn if this pattern, it really is a pattern, and if it emerges more. So
yeah.
Absolutely don't want to freak anyone out, and it's not like, it's not like we should all go running for the hills, but it is something to be aware of.
It's an indicator of a problem. It is a problem in itself.
Might be a problem here.
So Storm, unrelated, what would be the ideal lineup for your music and comedy festival? I'm going to give you three headlining guests who could be real, fictional, dead or alive.
Oh, wow. Well, of course I take Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. I take Spike Jones of yesteryear, no longer alive, I'm pretty sure, who was basically a novelty jazz musician, and Der Fuhrer's face with Donald Duck, that was him. And gosh, who's going to be my third? I'm taking Fozzie Bear because we've been talking about comedy when I was a kid. Poor me. I actually thought that he was supposed to actually be funny.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, for about a year, patterned myself after Fozzie Bear. That was a rough year. But that's what I'm going with. Who might you add? I'll say add. We're not in the substitution.
Oh, gosh. It's a great question. Probably the Beatles.
Oh, wait. I thought it was
comedy and music, I said. But I think all of it could
Okay.
I
went pure comedy.
Yeah, no, it's okay. You can add music now. We can keep going. The book isn't closed.
Well, you just named the first one I would name, so I think I'm good.
Oh gosh, the Beatles. To me, and this may be true for you as well, just like Beatles history, I know better than like American history. Like I know everything about it, and so when I'll reference something, and somebody doesn't get it, like somebody I'm married to, I get so confused.
All right.
It's a weird life.
Well, I'm gonna be out there in the Pacific Northwest pretty soon. So if you want some help in getting them back up to speed, we can Beatles out soon.
I realize that I don't know if you've played Beatles Rock Band, but they actually do have a pretty good history of the Beatles in it. So I think that's what we need to do is just somehow get Beatles Rock Band, play the whole thing, and then be like, this is real. When I say the Beatles at Shea Stadium, you need to know what I'm saying when I...
I actually saw a terrific... There's so many Beatles documentaries, but there was one that came out last year by, Ron Howard, that was just about their touring years. And it was fascinating as someone who's seen a lot of these documentaries and knows a lot about the Beatles. The way it was arranged, it really related... It sort of like explained a lot of the things that maybe you don't think of it. It came at it from a different angle. I don't want to spoil it, but how much their live performing experience and their antipathy towards it informed their creative direction.
All right.
So
that's awesome. I could talk about the Beatles forever, and maybe we should do that, but let's go back to the news since we're here.
All right. Two quick ones, really quick. One, the FCC votes to start rolling back landmark net neutrality rules. And that I only bring that up because I fear it's been lost in all of the big stuff. And then the second one is resistance, because I want to end it with some resistance. And the headline is, this Buffalo church is shielding undocumented immigrants from Trump's crackdown and helping them escape to Canada. And that it sounds like science fiction.
Yeah.
You know, that basically the Underground Railroad for immigrants and that this would have to exist in these times to keep families from being ripped apart. So that's a bit of resistance, and it's not an isolated incident, and that people of many walks are. When things get real, when actions are actually taken and it's not just things signed on paper, people are stepping
in
up.
In Buffalo.
Do you have another? In Buffalo, which is very far north towards Canada, indeed.
That's awesome. I like to think when Buffalo. I hear Buffalo Church that it's a church of all Buffalo, like social justice-minded Buffalo, the animal. And they're like, we can help you get out of the country. We're very large and threatening.
That's right. Climb on my back. And we'll take you somewhere where immigrants are appreciated.
I watch that show. Okay, last question. Which Muppet would you most want to fly in a Star Trek-style mission of space exploration with?
I'm going to go with Kermit the Frog. He's basically a King Arthur. Like, Kermit is not always the one who does the thing the best. He doesn't always make the best decision right away. But his heart is true, and I think if you're flying through the vacuum of space into unknown danger, that's who you want
that's
around
wonderful. You. All right, we're going to take a quick... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask you if you had a...
I mean, I think... I agree Kermit is probably the best choice. I have a place in my heart for Scooter just always for every answer to a question, so... mostly because I feel like Scooter. My brain is one half Kermit and one half Scooter with just like a little bit of Fozzie. And so I would like to have somebody else be Scooter so I don't have to.
Oh, that's nice. Sort of your Muppet co-processor.
Yeah. That's lovely. All right, well, let's take a quick musical stinger break and come back with some listener questions.
Blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Wow, I feel stung.
You feel stung. Yeah, that was a hot one.
Yeah.
We've got two questions here, Storm. Would you like to read the first one in a funny voice? I mean, sorry, a different voice?
Yes, a very natural but different voice.
Yeah.
Yes, I've not even laid eyes on these yet, so we'll see what happens.
Okay. Anonymous, I get that it sucks that Trump went to Saudi Arabia, but how is this different from every other president doing the same thing?
Do you want to take this, or should I?
Oh, no, go for it, please.
Oh, sure. I'd say that on the surface, there is very little that the current president does that's different from what every other president has done.
Yeah.
And it's a question of all the other things that the president and the administration have said and done that give it relevance and meaning.
Mm.
And I would say with this visit to Saudi Arabia that in and of itself, and again, I haven't been paying that close attention, I'm going to confess to that mm-hmm. it doesn't send alarm bells. But at the same time, there's generally a sense that you don't just wander into what's happening in the Middle East and start swinging your arms around because there are so many different lines across which terrible things can happen if they're breached and crossed. And I think that Trump and company believe that they can act as the cutter of a Gordian knot, that there are like only Nixon could go to China, only Trump could go to the Middle East swinging his arms around and not cause a dozen wars. So we'll see how true that is.
Gosh. Okay. That's a good answer. And I think we should go to question number two. Storm.
All right. I've also not laid eyes on this one. Here we go.
These are both anonymous questions, by the way. If you want to ask us a question, go to ask.fm/sowhatdowedopod. I think that's it.
Yeah, anonymous is totally cool. All right. This is from Anonymous, speaking of.
Anonymous says, just like this, you both seem very organized. Can you describe the process by which outrage turns into action items that feel important to you?
That hurt.
Yeah.
Angela, why don't you talk about your process?
Oh gosh. I think I think this is a really good question because it's kind of hard. But I actually kind of write things down because I think when you hear like a huge problem like, you know, violence against a particular group or, you know, legislation, it just seems like a thing that you want to fix immediately. You just want to push it back into the hole, like a sleeping bag, back into its little bag, but it's just too big and you can't fix it. So I like to make a list of like, what small thing can I do? And you kind of have to reverse engineer it like a mind map or a flowchart or something. What small thing that can I do that will make a change, that will lead to a change, that will have an effect on this thing that's going on, and like even in a small way, I know that I am doing what I can to work towards that problem being solved. And I kind of like, I make sure I have that written down so I can look at it whenever I feel hopeless, like I'm not doing enough.
Yeah. So it's like you are taking these strings and thoughts and laying them down in a place where you can arrange them into something that is intelligence.
Yes.
Yeah, how about
yourself?
Yeah, very similar. Using the Muppet analogy, the natural state
Please.
Of my mind is like every Muppet at the same time is screaming at me at the same time.
Right.
I am artificially organized, and it's a survival skill that it's lists, absolutely. And that's how I got into tracking news, is my mind just went into lock. It just locked up. And I just started logging and listing and organizing. And from out of that, same thing as with you, that eventually patterns emerge and you're able to craft it, forge it into something useful.
Yeah, I think when you start, even just like start trying to learn about anything, you can't do it all at once. It's going to take you a minute, but like even doing a small thing, like starting to write something down, or like even getting out a piece of paper and write at the top, like, what are my goals? Like, you have to start somewhere. And that is process. Yeah.
And here's something for you to try, Anonymous. If there's something you are particularly outraged about, and it depends on your personality too, but I would say read up on it and don't just feed yourself the stuff that you know is going to conform to your view. And I also don't mean go the opposite direction and just embrace and accept the opposite side of it. But see if you can gain an understanding that way. And if you are someone who is either actually organized or think you could be artificially organized, then maybe you can do something that can make sense of it. And there are actions that can grow out of that too, whether it's contacting a representative, even writing an opinion piece if you are someone who writes, many ways that you can be productive. But even if you are just able to achieve some peace of mind, that is absolutely time well spent.
Yeah. I think we nailed those questions, Storm. I think we nailed it.
Yeah. Anonymous, you did good this week. Really good.
Yeah. Great work, everybody. So before we move on to our discussion topic, let's talk real quick about this week. We have a sponsor.
Yes, and it's very exciting. What we do is sponsored now by Fact Zero, which you may have gained from context from our opening statements. Mm-hmm. It's got a ton of press for about people who couldn't get through on the phones to their congresspeople, but faxes were still getting through, with some in particular, like Toomey in Pennsylvania, apparently. Yeah, you can fax that guy.
Yeah, so it's a service online where you can send 5 free faxes a day, up to 3 pages each, not even just to your congresspeople. It's a helpful business tool and communication tool in general, to anywhere in the U.S. and Canada.
Yes, I'm going to go off script a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was thrilled when we were contacted by the good folks at Fact Zero, because I literally have been using their service for years for my business purposes, because I do not own a fax machine. But there are still businesses, banking in particular, that very much still use fax machines. And I remember seeing the Fax Congress program. It was one of the very first public resistance efforts organized by anybody. And it was a breath of fresh air to see, oh, this is great. That I say it sometimes, that resistance is a cottage industry. And then you look around and see what's in your cottage and say, how can this be useful in the effort? And the folks at Fact Zero said, well, this is something that we can do. And of course, it would be good for their business too.
Yeah.
I believe in commerce as well. So we were thrilled when they contacted us. So I'm going back on script now, if it's cool.
Yeah, please.
So, yes, if you do want to fax Congress, if that's your style, maybe you don't like talking on the phone. Maybe you want to email them as in a fax. Watch me tap dance.
Nailing it. You're absolutely nailing it.
Thank you. Just click the Fax Congress button on faxzero.com's main page, and you'll get to the special Fax Congress page where they have lists of the reps' fax numbers. They keep them updated regularly, so you don't have to worry about that. And then you click any of the links, and that rep's name and the fax number, they're pre-filled for you, so you don't have to skip that typing. You just get down to the meat of what you want to tell them. And there's even guidelines for how to fax people, how to do it in a way that's going to be effective.
It's so awesome. It's so easy. If you have additional faxing needs, you can choose to pay $1.99 per fax for longer faxes, or if you want to send more than 5 per day.
Yep. So thank you so much for reaching out to us, faxzero.com.
Woohoo! And we'll be right back with our discussion topic. All right, Storm, you ready to talk? Let's talk.
Yeah, it's time we started talking.
This podcast has just been so much silence for too long. So last week we talked about empathy and trying to understand where people are coming from with different opinions. And this week I want to talk about things we can agree on, which is one of the topics that we talked about when we started making this podcast. Is there something we can all kind of get behind outside of partisanship? Do you think there are common American values? So Storm, what is your reaction to that first question?
This is a yes, but is my first reaction.
Yeah.
And then I feel like there absolutely are values that up until recently, I would say it would be unchallenged are American values. And, you know, saying the word freedom and, you know, individual liberty and all of these things. But the difference is they've been twisted, I would say, into meaning different things among different people, and that there's a tendency to no longer apply them to everybody universally, or saying that, you know, that there's a fundamental disagreement about what they mean. So,
yeah,
I guess it's a yes, but, or it's a no, but... But I do think if you bring it down to very basic things, and I think right now if you get into a conversation with someone in person or online, that once it gets into the purely ideological, that it's just gone because it becomes meaningless, and that you have to talk in specifics. I didn't see this topic beforehand, so I'm just talking off the top of my head right now.
So we can start with, for example, like, I mean, if you're going to like a baseball game or to the playground or whatever, you have, there's like rules that we all agree to start with. So if we think of the US of A as some sort of organized organization like that, our documents, right? Like the Constitution should be the thing that we point to and say, like, the things that the values, the mission statement of our country should be where we begin. Like, do you think still hold?
It's still true. The thing I've seen happen in over the past decade or more is sort of a Bibleization of the Constitution, where you are putting more or less emphasis on the parts of the document that are more favorable to your point of view. Mm. And to my mind, the reinterpretation of the Second Amendment is the worst case of that when the Supreme Court made their ruling that the Second Amendment was about the individual right to bear arms, it took really reading into it quite a bit and overturning a lot of history, like of the past 100 years, to do that. So I feel like absolutely the Constitution is absolutely the foundational document, but that more and more intellect has been applied to it to weaken it as something that can be used to strictly call balls and strikes, as is often cited.
That's fair. The next question I wrote was, does it hurt that these documents were written by a bunch of slave-owning white guys? I mean, and non-slave-owning white guys, to be fair, but...
Yeah. No, I think it's totally legitimate to be concerned about that. But I think what has made it the Constitution remarkable is, regardless of by whom it was written and what their motivations were, the effect was to create a system of these checks and balances that, to the greatest extent, I believe, and of any other structure in history, has created stability within the government. Not at all times, and right now it's being severely tested, but that up until very recently, I would say that there has been an ever-widening inclusiveness powered by that document, and it's really only now when things are being done openly to defy the very words of that document, particularly with the Muslim ban, that you're finding its strength. And right now it's holding because of the judiciary, because certainly the executive ain't ain't giving a flip, and the Congress seems to be happy to look the other way, so long as they're getting the goodies in their Halloween bag.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely I'm saying thank God for separation of powers quite a bit when you're reading me the news this week, because it's like, oh wow, that was real smart, that three branches of government thing. Thank goodness for that. Oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, it's, of course, in the foundational document, women could not vote. Things were set up to basically favor landowners. Mm-hmm. And of course, people who were enslaved were not considered to be people at all, except for the purposes of apportioning representatives, but could not themselves vote. So, yeah there's certainly a lot of it ain't no picnic in history, but on the whole, at least what was set out and how it's grown, I feel has been positive.
Yeah. The next question I have is about American values, and you referenced this a little bit about sort of the individual enterprise and collective welfare, which are mm-hmm. wonderful buzzwords that you wrote down in our document that I kind of need explained a little bit. But like, I think that's very true. Like I'm an American, I can do whatever I want. And then I'm an American, I would like everybody to be able to afford to eat. Those are two different ideas that maybe are on a spectrum.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And that it's a difference between equality of opportunity and equality of fact. Like,
oh, okay.
It's reductive to say it, but like communism was more about equality of fact, at least as they tried to play it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple to say it, but everybody gets the same thing versus everybody to the greatest extent possible will have the greatest opportunities to thrive and achieve. And that means that regardless of where you are born, and to whom you are born, that you will have things like, you know, education, that you will not go hungry, that there is at least a minimum that you will have. Mm-hmm. And that, I feel, is something that has eroded greatly. It's another way of saying the haves and the have-nots and the 1%, all of mm-hmm. this stuff. And, you know, part of it's altruistic and part of it, I feel, is practical, too, that I think I've said it on this podcast before, that the more people you have in the pool who are realizing their potentials, the more we're going to be able to avail. All of us are going to see the fruits of all of those minds and efforts. So the truth is somewhere in between. And I think that it is motivating to be able to do well for oneself and one's loved ones.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's inherently bad at all. I believe in a lot of what capitalism is, but unrestrained, like any other system, you know, it becomes evil.
Yeah. Well, I think that's interesting, like the freedom and like meritocracy and helping others. I feel like capitalism really, I'm glad that we're handling this on a 20-minute podcast segment, but like throws a wrench in there in a lot of ways. And it's, I don't know. I think people on both sides will think that it's very simple from their perspective. And I fall into that too. Like, well, we should just do this and that's fine. But it isn't, I don't think either side, once you actually dig into it, is as simple as you think it is. Right.
No, I don't think it's ever very simple.
Yeah.
And going back to what we talked about, empathy, you often do need to dig deeper and think a little bit to figure out what is at the root of it. And it could be ugly stuff at the root of it, but for the super vast majority of people, it's not malevolent. Mm-hmm. And that it could be hard to get to a place where everybody can see each other as human, but you know, I was out literally in the countryside this weekend, mm-hmm. and it's this weird cognitive dissonance in that, you know, I've traveled all around the country and I love the people I meet everywhere I go. And the same was true out this weekend, enjoying the environment out in Virginia and West Virginia. And, you know, the people are wonderful. And I knew that a lot of the people, if not most, that I encountered probably voted for Trump. But in that context, when you're just people, you know, it's not that it doesn't matter. And of course, I'm not a person of color. And it could be that if I were, when I was going to these places, I'd have a very different experience, even though in some places I look a little suspect as I am. But, you know, fundamentally, you know, I don't feel like I really do feel like we are one people that do often have big differences, but that ultimately there is a common goodness. And my hope is that it won't be eclipsed by darker stuff that's always been under the surface and has been allowed or encouraged to rise up and hopefully not dominate.
Yeah. That's. I think that's a good place to stop. I could continue, but I would just repeat what you said. So, can it be nice? It'd be good. Shall we head into our serving suggestions, Storm?
Yeah, let's do something, right?
Let's do it.
Because we don't just want to be mad at stuff. Mm-mm. And we want to, if we are, we want to be mad at the right stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make a difference here. And it can be little stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to get away from social media. Sometimes you need to take a nap. And sometimes you need to do stuff.
Yeah.
It can be exhausting. So here's three things for today.
All right.
And this is funny because I hadn't looked at the discussion topics, but my first one is relatively low engagement. Read the Constitution.
Yeah.
Read the Constitution. We talk about it as this holy document. It's not. It's a well thought out organizational document. By gosh, it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I do try to read it again every now and then. And it was left, a lot of it was left deliberately vague, which is part of its genius, I believe. So read that sucker.
Check it out.
Here's another fun one, and a lot of you probably don't need to do this, but get a library card.
Yay.
Get a library card. Or if you have a library card, go avail yourself of what the library has to offer, because the more people have cards, they record that, the more people are using the library, the more that they're going to be willing to fund it. And it's something that is has been fundamental to the betterment of society since public libraries have existed. And this is a favorite. I get a lot of these, by the way, from the project, the weekly news project I do or advise on with Patrick Rothfuss.
Yay.
So thank you, Pat, for that hint.
I like it. I like it a lot. And libraries have so many more things than books. There's like learn to do something or have a discussion or eat, all kinds of fun stuff. Check out your library. There's more there than you think.
There is. Just ask your librarian, because my gosh, some of the smartest, most thoughtful people in the world, librarians, check them out.
They're the best.
All right. One more.
Okay.
And this is low to medium engagement and can involve our sponsor Fact Zero, or you can go to fivecalls.org to help you out. And if you've been listening for a few weeks, there's a pattern here. There's always something that's to contact your congressfolk, mm-hmm. and or senators. And this week, I'm going to highlight something that I feel has flown under the radar, is super important, and that has not been getting attention. It's critical. And that is to ensure adequate funding for an accurate 2020 census. That might sound like it's long from now. It's not.
Yeah.
And they have to fund this stuff now for it to work. And a few just bullet points on it. These are quotes from an article about why it's important. Given that congressional redistricting and funding for hundreds of federal programs all rely on the census, the reliability of the numbers carry far-reaching consequences, particularly for disadvantaged communities. We're talking low-income households, renters, people without phones, non-English speakers. They generally have lower response rates to the census. And when that happens, it means they're undercounted, which means fewer services for those areas that probably need them the most. So census experts say that without the outreach efforts of reaching these people. And this means temporary workers to go and knock on doors to find folks and get their information. It means that discrepancies of undercounting of the disadvantaged communities could worsen. And it's already happening now. So please contact your congressfolk. You can use services like fivecalls.org or Fax Congress. And it really matters, especially if they start hearing from people on this when everybody's focused on Trump Russia, which is certainly important. But they're frankly, right now, there's not a lot that you and I can do about it.
Yeah, no, it's super important. Like, those are the numbers that we're going to use to just say facts for the perceivable future. Just like, there's this many of these kinds of whatever. We got them to be accurate. That would be good. I'm with you, Storm. For once, I agree.
All right. Yeah, for once. Gosh, we're always at each other's throats on this stuff.
So for our final words, I want to say, just to tie back into our topic and into your idea of read the Constitution, get a library card, think about the things that you're afraid of that keep you from being kind to everyone and make sure that they're true.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
Because I think, I would like folks who disagree with me to do that, because I think fear and anger leads to the dark side, as they say. And I think that those are the things that keep us from being nice and from being productive, and that maybe some of them are more sensational than is actually true. So maybe we should think about it.
I'm going to dogpile onto that, because I think it's really important, with a mental trick that could help.
Okay.
When you encounter someone or see on TV, whatever it is, and they've made you angry, that try to picture in your mind someone that maybe looks like them, who you've met, who you have a positive opinion of, or try to imagine something about that person's life where they're genuinely kind. And that's not to forget if they're saying something terrible or horrible, but that is one way that you cannot lose your own humanity by dehumanizing other people.
Yes. Yes. That's it for So What Do We Do this week. Find us on Twitter and Facebook and sowhatdowedopod.com. If you have a question for us, go to ask.fm/sowhatdowedopod. And I hope that your week is great.
Yep, it's gonna be. I got a good feeling about it.